D4, number 17A.
We are here for the third session of this whole series. The subject today is Christianity, seen from the level of divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. Now, why are we doing these exercises on really understanding the place value of Christianity? Why are we considering those fundamental capitalized terms? I think one should always be aware what one is fundamentally doing. And fundamentally, we are doing something terrific. Namely, we are trying to find those fundamentals from which everything stems. In other words, see, the whole presentation or the whole teaching which we are considering during these sessions is not trying to find answers to those many, 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 many questions which come up during the day, during the year. Usually, religious metaphysical teaching is concerned of showing the answer to this specific problem, that specific problem, showing the answer, say, what is supply, showing the answer, what is true business, what is true metaphysical healing, and so on. Whereas we are not primarily concerned with that. We are primarily concerned with finding the fundamental reality of being. In other words, we are considering the same big questions which the classical Greeks have been asking, those questions which the great prophets have been asking themselves, namely asking, what is the underlying unifying principle? And if I can understand the unifying principle, then from there I can deduce every specific problem and every specific question finds its answer. So let us see that the Greeks were asking, you know, what is the last indivisible fact of being? They called it the atom. Tom means separate. A is a prefix that means no more separable, no, separable, which can no more be divided. They were asking for the last indivisible unit of being and called it the atom. The prophets were asking the same question, what is the ultimate indivisible unit, and could see that it is the one God, Jehovah, or whatever they may have called him. Again, we see that when we want to understand the infinite manifestation and phenomena of being, we shouldn't try to be able to answer all the infinite questions. What we should try to do is to find those last fundamentals which are so fundamental and so basic that they are giving the answer to everything. Just when I came over, I was reading a very interesting book by Professor Heisenberg, you know, the foremost physicist, and he was trying, he was stating an interesting definition of understanding. What means understanding? What does it mean to understand something? And he said that understanding means to reduce to a simple, unified principle. This is understanding. To reduce the subject, you see, to a simple, unified principle. So it isn't understanding details. It's understanding the very basic principle of being. So we understand being, the infinite one, really when we understand the infinite one as the fundamental principle of being, which really is responsible for the fundamental order of being. So let's take the whole instead of the details. Let's take the bigger instead of the smaller. Let's therefore concentrate our consciousness on grasping really what the principle of being is. Therefore, we can see that if we do that, and if our understanding is in harmony with this principle, with this unifying principle, then our understanding is transparent for this unifying principle, then our understanding really can take in, so to say, every question, every answer. Yes, well, that's the point which we have to keep in mind when we try to investigate these great categories of being which constitute the jar. You see, even Aristoteles, the founder, so to say, of classical science and classical reasoning, he was trying to classify all the phenomena of nature into some categories. He was the first one to put up categories. Later on, it was really Kant in the last century who tried to get hold of being through putting up new categories. Well, all that has changed again, especially through Niklas Hartmann, who had a new sense of categories about 20, 30 years ago. But all these attempts, so to say, to find the fundamental classifications, they're all based on a human attempt, on human conceptions. And what Mrs. Eddy has been doing is that she too asks the same questions as Aristoteles, as Kant, and so on, were asking, namely how to categorize the infinite manifestation into just a few categories. But her categorization was based on divine categories and no more on human categories. In this way, she is unique in the development of the philosophical idea. And so in this way, Mrs. Eddy could find those great categories which we call the seven synonymous term, second those which we call the modus operandi of word, Christ, Christianity, and science, and that third category of the four levels. Now, if we see these and find them, then we really find with the chart what perhaps the world would call the world formula. You see, in the spiritual, we always find the same questions being asked as they are asked in the material universe, in the material science, in natural science. In natural science, since Einstein, Bohr, Heisenberg, and so on, Schrödinger, they were asking after the world formula. How can we simplify the whole manifestation of the world into a simple system of reference? And in the same way, we naturally can ask this question, how can we reduce the infinite manifestation into a simple system of reference? And so, can you see that if we devote some years of our consciousness to culturing these categories, that we are doing something which is not just a hobby of ours or my special presentation or view on Christian Science, but that we are concentrating our consciousness and culturing our consciousness in those fundamental categories which include everything. So we could really call our chart the world formula of the spiritual being. Yes. So, in considering this great world formula, this great structure of being, we have been going through the Word and then through the Christ. And now today, we want to see what Christianity really means. And so I begin with Christianity, and the first thing I want to do is to focus on the category of Christianity to see that we get the right focus on it and that we never deviate anymore from that focus. The focus of Christianity in the great operation of being is the third side of the holy city. We know that Mrs. Eddy calls the city of the city that came down from heaven, the city four square, at four equal sides, that there she calls them Word, Christ, Christianity, Divine Science. So Christianity takes the third place in the order of the modus operandi. This is true as long as we are thinking on the level of divine science. It is a city four square with equal sides. Mrs. Eddy speaks of the city of our God, no more the city four square, but the city of our God, where the relationship between God and man is under consideration. There she defines Christianity differently. There Christianity is the third cardinal point. It's no more a side. It's a third cardinal point. And of this third cardinal point, she says, Christianity, which is the outcome of the divine principle of the Christ idea in Christian history. You can see it is a very logical sequence. It is showing that Christianity is the outcome of the Christ idea. It's that which comes after Christ. And naturally, the Christ idea is that idea which builds on the Word, on the divine principle. So, actually, we should not call this third cardinal point Christianity. We really should call it Christianity, because it is the ianity, the realm, the kingdom of the Christ. It has nothing at all to do with Christendom, with the ordinary sense of Christianity. The ordinary sense of Christianity is that it is the Christian religion, or the Christians as a group, or Christendom is perhaps that what Christians collectively have been doing with all their wars and crises and revolutions and so on. But what we mean under Christianity is completely spiritual. It is the realm of the Christ operation. It's the effect of that Christ, the outcome. And I think always when one pinpoints that in one's consciousness, that Christianity has to do with outcome, then I think we can never go astray in our system of reference. Mrs. Eddy goes further in depicting this new Jerusalem and shows this third point in a different way, namely on the level of Christian Science. She shows that this city four square has gates, and that these gates open up to humanity, that they go out into humanity. And so in the third side of this city, those gates, he speaks of them as that they open to the genial tropics, with a southern cross in the sky. You see at once, it's now the cross that is depicted, the cross of Calvary, which binds human society into solemn union. You see at once the relationship between God and man. At once the impact Christianity has on human existence, on human history, and binding man into solemn union, showing therefore that Christianity is the answer to the question of man and of mankind and of humankind. Here in that third side, we will find today a wonderful answer for the whole question of what is man. So let's just keep in mind that when we speak about Christianity, that it has to do with the outcome of the operation of the divine principle, with the effect of the operation of the divine principle. Cybernetically, we could say it is that third operation, first input, second process, third output. That output, that effect, that outcome is actually Christianity. I like to illustrate it in this way usually, that in the world, the first step is always to go up, so to say, mentally to the question, to answer the question, what is God? It's adding, rising higher, until we find the whole measure of the word of God, the definition of God. Then the Christ is always that divine message from God to man, the coming down from God to man, and so I can illustrate that as the descent of the Holy Ghost, the descent, the divine message from God to man. But that descent of the Christ comes down infinitely. And therefore, the outcome of that Christ descent is the realm of the manifestation of ideas, which I have indicated here in as a whole realm of Christ's manifestation of its own idea. So that Christianity is the kingdom, the realm of the Christ. Just as you have, in your wonderful country you never had barons and lords and kings and, and so on as we had in Europe. And there we have a similar sense. There we speak of the Herzog, and the Herzogtum, always that tum, that Janity, you see, is then showing the Herzog, what would you call it, the Baron? No, yes, the Baron, the Duke or so, yes. And he has a realm, you see, which belongs to him. So you have a person, a reign, who reigns over it, and then you have the whole country which is reigned by him. So that's the Christianity. That whole realm which you have here as a circle, showing that the Christ comes down to every point of human existence. It touches every point of human existence and therefore makes every point of human existence a Christ manifestation. We can see that if we consider this whole thing from the levels of the three different levels, then naturally we can see that the lowest level is Christian Science, which shows now the outcome in the human experience. Higher up, we have absolute Christian signs and divine signs, which therefore ultimately comes together on the level of science itself, where it is no more one of the four sides, but just the infinite one. So in this way, really, we begin to realize that, you see, the word is an ascending sense, the Christ is a descending sense of thought, whereas Christianity or Christianity is a realm, it's a whole cone, you see. It is now a realm, a space. And that explains why Mrs. Eddy, in miscellaneous writing, speaks that Christian Science is the infinite calculus defining the line, then the plane, it comes down, the Christ comes down to every plane of thought, to every point, to the plane of Christian Science, to the plane of absolute Christian Science, to the plane of divine science, comes down, and thereby third space and forms a space, you see. It says Christian Science is the infinite calculus defining the line, word, plane, Christ, space, Christianity, and then later on tomorrow to the fourth dimension. So it is a space, it is a realm that we are considering. And you can get the feel of the infinite expansion one gets in Christianity. That infinite expansion which will tell us that every point in the whole realm of being is being touched by the Christ idea. Is being brought forth by the Christ idea. That there is not one little place, one little experience, not one little occasion or opportunity which is not filled with this impact of the Christ idea. Though here we have the whole yanity, the whole realm, kingdom, whatever we can call it, of the Christ. Let's recapitulate what we have pinpointed up to this point about Christianity. So Christianity is the outcome. It's always at the point of outcome. Therefore, we can never start with Christianity, with man, and try to work out man, manhood, humanity, Christianity, before we can know what is the word, and before we know something about the operation of the Christ. We can't start working out the proposition man. We have to start with the Word and with the Christ. That's what is important when we see that Christianity is the outcome of the Christ activity, of the Christ operation, of the Christ working. It's the outcome. It's the realm. It's the whole realm of the Christ doing. It's the realm of ideas. Because the outcome of the Christ is always ideas. And in that very moment we begin to realize what Christianity is. That it is a realm of ideas. It isn't a realm of people. It isn't the realm of a universe of beings and of things and of happenings and of history and so on and so on and so on. It's just a realm of ideas. Ideas actually are spaceless, timeless. That's the realm in a metaphor way, because ideas have no space. And I always feel, somehow that was in my bones right from the beginning, that if only we can get the true sense of what constitutes idea, and to be able to transmute and transform our consciousness to that point where we really see that ideas are timeless, spaceless. I know I repeat that for the 100th time or the 200th time, but it's not enough. To think that we have no more to do with things, that we have no more to do with people, no more to do with place, no more to do with time, that all that vanishes away the moment we begin to be able to reason and think and be conscious in terms of ideas, then we find the solution. Because ideas are timeless, spaceless, and as we will see later on, they are backed up by the whole principle. So Christianity is therefore telling us something about the infinite realm of ideas. In that infinite realm of ideas, we have seen on that illustration that every point is really the outcome of the Christ idea. So that every point here in this realm of Christianity is really reflecting every other point via principle. Always via principle, that each idea reflects each other idea, not just by direct reflection, but always via principle, always via the Word and the Christ. And only in this way each idea is reflected and related and interrelated and connected with every other idea. So that we begin to see that Christianity is possible then when everyone is first united through the Word with its principle, and let principle impel him to do and to think what he has to do and to think. And then everyone is geared to with the other one through that Word and Christ. Did I make that clear? Sorry, you don't have a chance to say no. So that is what reflection means. You see, it is not that each idea, any point here on the level of Christianity reflects, say, this point, reflects this point. It always reflects it through principle, via principle. Therefore, every consciousness that is filled with the Word, and therefore under the impulsion of the Christ, we'll always do that which is right also for the other one. Because then it is rightly reflected with the other one. And so we can see another big point about Christianity, that in this reflection there is a focal point which is spirit. Because only spirit is that transparent clarity. It's only that onlyness, which has no duality, which is able to reflect and reflect. Only that which is clean and clear, spiritually clean and clear, can reflect. Something else can't reflect. And therefore we will encounter today the great importance of spirit. Spirit is a symbol standing for the transparency, for reflection, for purity, for the cleanness and clearness of the idea, that Christianity is then possible when we think in terms of spiritual ideas, no more in terms of people and the material universe.